In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. How many of you did not sleep well last night? I see some hands going up. Was it simply a matter of biology? You shouldn't have had that last glass of water at 10 p.m. Or were you tossing or turning over some problem in your mind? Did you have a bad dream from which you awoke in a cold sweat? Yep, we've all been there, haven't we? I used to call them the 2 a.m. willies, unable to sleep, tossing and turning, dozing off and then having frightful dreams. And they were usually at their worst when I was worried about something. How was our business doing? Were we going to be able to make payroll this month? Later on, would I pass an exam in seminary? Was one of the kids going to get through a difficult challenge? 2 a.m. willies. They're not fun. Why is it that they always seem to come in the middle of the night? Why not in the daytime when it doesn't seem anywhere near as scary? It's always nighttime. Science actually has some answers. If you're having nightmares, eat the wrong foods before bedtime, take certain medications, be in a stressful situation, you may end up with bad dreams. Some think those nightmares are your psyche's way of sorting out and problem solving when you're sleeping and less likely to resist solutions. But what if you're awake when the 2 a.m. willies come on? Nighttime panic attacks are not uncommon, particularly if you're experiencing an extended period of stress. In fact, some people who have been diagnosed with PTSD have them very frequently at night. And if you're one of the ones who has experienced nightmares, night terrors, or nighttime panic attacks, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
You're probably shivering in your seats right now in memory of them. They're no fun, and nobody wants to be reminded of that experience, but they do happen. Which leads me to wonder if Jacob, alone in his little tent by the river Jabbok, is experiencing a nightmare or a panic attack, or if God or an angel is wrestling with him, giving Jacob the 2 a.m. willies. He would certainly have good reason to have them. Remember, this is the guy who cheated his brother out of his inheritance. This is the guy who was headed back home to face that brother. Who knows if Esau was still ticked off after all these years. Jacob was now a pretty successful guy. He was at risk for the loss of his wealth, as well as the possibility that Esau would physically attack him. When I was writing the sermon, I thought about Esau opening up a can of whoop on him, but I decided that wouldn't be appropriate, so we passed on that. So we have this story. Jacob, away from his family, rests by the river. He sent them on ahead. Is this because he's using them as human shields as a sort, or as a ransom? Or simply because he doesn't want them to be at risk by accompanying him? We don't know. But in the dark, he wrestles with somebody. Is it a man? Is it an angel? Is it God? The text doesn't actually say precisely. But Jacob certainly thinks it's God, since the next day when he departs, he names the place Face of God, Peniel, But let's go back to the 2 a.m. Willies. Is this a frightening encounter, this wrestling match? Is it a dream or is it real? Is Jacob, as Jungian psychotherapists might guess, working out his problems and fears and his relationship with the spiritual in his dream? Is this a fevered imagination gone wild or a misinterpreted panic attack? Or is it God opening up a can of, well, you know what kind of can I'm talking about, because of Jacob's less than stellar actions? Jacob, the trickster, who was himself tricked by Laban, his father-in-law, into 14 years of labor to get the woman that he loved. Jacob, the cheater, aided and abetted by his mother as he pulls the wool almost literally over his father's eyes. Jacob, the one who was second chronologically, but is certainly first in terms of bad behavior. If you were God, and you had made a promise to Abraham about generation after generation of the chosen people, and then this grandson of Abraham sins in stupid, sophomoric, venal ways, well, wouldn't you want to whack the guy upside the head? Doesn't he deserve it? But as in all the stories of the relationship between God and God's people, it's complicated. God shows up to wrestle all night with this annoying guy, and the annoying guy cannot be wrestled into submission. What's that about? So God whacks him hard on the hip, dislocating Jacob's hip. Those of you who have had hip surgery know how much that would hurt. God thinks that'll slow him down. But even though he's slowed down, Jacob still continues the wrestling in terms of verbal sparring. He says, "Bless me." Now, when we hear "bless me," we think warm and fuzzy blessing, nice. But this is still the same sort of wrestling that Jacob did with Esau as a boy, the same sort of striving to get what he wants but doesn't seem to deserve. Jacob is saying, "Give me that blessing. We wrestled all night and you didn't beat me until you hit me on the hip joint, so give me that blessing." And God, who's probably a little tired of that guy, says, "Okay, but riddle me this. What's your name?" Jacob looks at him a little suspiciously. Is this a trick? Jacob, the trickster, looks exhausted. He doesn't have it in him to come back with a snappy reply, so he simply says, "Jacob." And God says, "Yeah, well, you may say that, but I'm changing that. Your name is now Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with human beings and have prevailed." Jacob thinks to himself, "Yeah, that's what the word Israel means. But is this guy saying he's God? That wrestling with him was wrestling with God?" So he asks the obvious question. "You got to tell me who you are." The first rays of dawn are lightening the skies. And God looks at them and says, "Yeah, right. I bless you." And then God's no longer there, at least not visibly. The blessing that Jacob got, the first one, the inheritance and blessing from his father Isaac that caused his problems with his brother Esau, was a blessing that Jacob didn't deserve or earn. But the second blessing, the one from God, is the one that Jacob earned. He wrestled for it all night long, all through those 2 a.m. willies. And he deserved it, not because he was perfect, because he struggled and he suffered for his misdeeds. Jacob renamed Israel, the name of the chosen nation. Jacob, an unlikely leader, an undeserving inheritor, nevertheless blessed. There's a lesson for us here. I expect that none of us think of ourselves as God's chosen one. We're experts in explaining how we don't quite meet God's expectations. We regularly do bad things, stupid things, mindless mistakes that separate us from God's desire for us. And then we get the 2 a.m. willies when we think about it. We wrestle sometimes with God saying, "You're not giving me what I want right now." And God keeps wrestling with us. Not because God particularly enjoys wrestling, but because he wants us to recognize that we're not really wrestling with him. We're wrestling with ourselves, with our own unhealthy wants and expectations. God wants to bless us. Sometimes we need to do the wrestling before we can even recognize who it is that we are seeking the blessing from. For better or for worse, we are built to struggle, to wrestle, to sometimes go the harder route rather than the easier one. We are intended to engage God as two seemingly evenly matched wrestlers, trying to connect, trying to understand what we are trying to understand, what that blessing will mean. Sometimes the only way we get to the place of blessing is by the wrestling at midnight, by the sweat and the fear of the 2 a.m. willies, by the negotiation, by the question, "Who are you?" Sometimes we only know what the blessing is and who bestows it by the hard work of the middle of the night, the dark night of the soul, the questions, the wrestle, the sweat. The blessing is there if you're willing to wrestle for it, if you're willing to ask for it, and if you're willing to believe that God believes that you deserve it. Amen.